Welcome to another episode of Over Ask. Today, we have a very, very special guest. Dustin Brohm's on the program. He is a realtor. Okay, we were just talking about that, a realtor. And he is actually competition. So he's the number two real estate podcast of all time. Happy that you're on number one. You can see how it's, you know, see how it's done here.
I already see how this is going to go.
Welcome to the largest real estate syndicate in the world.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Dude, Dustin, thanks so much for being on, though. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I don't know what the hell's going to happen, but this is good. It's off to a good start. I like that.
So. I think so. So, Dustin, for people who may not know you, you're the massive agent on all kind of social platforms. That's how maybe more people would know you, the massive agent. For those who don't know you, can you kind of just give us a bit of a background on yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm a real estate agent, have been for about 11 years. And, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I transitioned. Well, let me back up even before that. Like the first 4 or 5 years of my career was a shit show. It was a garbage. It was a dumpster fire floating down the river. You guys have seen that GIF, right?
Yes.
That was the first half of my career with the river and everything. So I didn't know how to get clients, and I did a good job. Like I knew what I was doing for the most part. I just had trouble marketing. I didn't understand it. And I was following a mentor who liked to chase people down and convince them to work with him. He had this script stapled up on his wall and his freaking Bluetooth headset. And he liked to do the calls. Cool. I hate that shit. And when you hate doing something, you just can't do it long enough to win. You can't do it long enough to have any success because you hate every minute of it. So out of necessity, because I was starving to death, I went to Google and I Googled how to get real estate leads. And it opened up this whole new world to me of content marketing and attraction marketing. And, you know, my mentor taught me that you have to like show up on someone's doorstep, or you have to call somebody or chat them up wearing your stupid little name tag that I still have, by the way.
Oh my God. Throw that away.
Jesus.
No, it's memories. What
not to massive do. Does it say massive agent on it?
Yeah, these were BC. Okay. These are before the massive agent time.
BM.
BM, BMA. Mm-hmm. But he'd chat people up in the produce section. Like they'd be measuring cucumbers and he'd chat them up about the real estate market. And he was successful doing that.
Measuring cucumbers was the reference you had to go with there.
This is the Over Ask podcast.
You're right.
Yeah, sorry. True.
I read the room and here we are. Yeah. Wow. So, you know, I was starving to death because I didn't really have any business, and it opened my eyes that I don't have to do that. I don't have to chat people up. I don't have to call them. You know, I can attract business with content, with all this stuff. So it opened up a whole new world. I started having some success. I started selling some homes. And then Snapchat came along thanks to Gary Vee. And I was really getting into Gary Vee at the time. So anything he said, I was like, okay. And I would just do it. And he said, get on Snapchat and then write an article about why you're using Snapchat like for the year. Cause it was like December or something, like why you're going to be on Snapchat specific to your industry. And I'm like, okay. And I sent the article to Inman and they published it. And I'm like, okay, they published it. And I got a ton of followers, like 1500 real estate agents following me when I woke up the next morning.
On Snapchat or Instagram or where? Okay.
On Snapchat. And then the next day, the same thing. So I had thousands of agents following me. So I'm like, oh shit, like I should probably do something. And I just started documenting what I was doing on a daily basis. And most of it was marketing stuff. Like a Facebook ad or a Canva graphic or, you know, doing this social media campaign or whatever. And I started sharing that. And I noticed there was an audience for it. You know, there was a demand for learning how to do that shit. So I just started sharing it and I started to get referrals because people started to know me as the agent in Salt Lake. And so that became a passion of mine. And then I really leaned into helping other agents just by showing them what I had just done, like just kind of reaching back to the people who were a step or two behind me saying, hey, here's what I've done. You can do the same thing. And that led me to start the podcast and, you know, everything else I'm doing today. And it's been super fun. It's fulfilling. And you know, I attribute it to asking a question a few years ago One of my mentors said that the quality of the questions you ask will determine the quality of life you have. And so I'm like, first off, what the hell does that mean? So he clarified and he's like, well, you could ask a lazy question, like, how can I work more to make more money? I was like, yeah, that sounds good. He's like, well, does it? He's like, why don't you ask a better question? Like, how can you make more money by working less? And I'm like, oh shit. So that I started to ask myself, how can I sell more homes without doing it personally? How can I make more money without working more? And I found everything that I'm doing today really fits that while being more fulfilling and having a bigger impact on other agents around the industry. So just having a blast. It's mostly marketing stuff, but good times. Good times as an agent, right?
So what's your favorite color?
That is a hard-hitting question that I was not
prepared for. Your mentor, you know, you need these profound questions. So I figured I'd lead off with a tough one there.
You want to? I'll go with blue.
Okay.
I was going to say gray from the looks of your fucking background there.
Don't I look like a communist or something?
But so there's a lot to unload here. Okay. Unpack. I mean, we're measuring both cucumber sizes.
That's correct.
So the first 5-6 years of your career was awful. It was kind of like Eric's entire real estate career in this.
Not that bad.
Okay, not as bad as that. Okay, you're still a couple of steps ahead of there. Okay, and then you really, once you kind of, I guess, got a different mindset of how you could do things and you figured out that it's not a one-size-fit-all business, because I think that's what a lot of people think it is. You have to door knock. You have to cold call. You have to send fucking 17,000 flyers a month. You don't have to do anything. You like, there's something for everyone. And that's the hardest part in this industry, is finding what works for you. And it's like a cliche thing to say now, but like, you need to find the things you're passionate about, because that's going to keep you consistent. And when you're consistent, that's when you get your results. So clearly you've found what you're passionate about and now you're getting those results. So are you leveraging now pretty much all your business from the podcast?
Yeah. I mean, most of it comes from the podcast somehow. I still get referrals coming in. I have a team here locally that I have do those deals, which is super cool. I'd say in one way or another, it comes from the podcast or the brand or my social media content. So yeah, it's all from, you know, the content that I put out over the years, for sure.
Yeah.
So did the podcast start from kind of Gary V's formula about, you know, how you said you were like documenting for your creation? So did the podcast start like, hey, I'm just going to talk about all these marketing ideas for agents? Or like, what was the first episode like? Did you have a guest on, and what direction did you want to take it in?
That first episode was also a floating dumpster fire, for sure. And episode 2 and 3 and beyond. But it was certainly inspired by Gary V's take on things. Like, you don't need to go create a bunch of shit and like orchestrate it and have this big production. Like, just show what you're doing. And I was looking for other ways to do that. So I was doing it on Snapchat and then doing it. I mean, Snapchat at the time was like, if people weren't following your stories, like, where else are you going to talk to them? You know, that they're sort of like, where's a group? So we brought it to a Facebook group and started a Facebook group with a few thousand people. And that's where my audience was. That's how I spoke to agents and reached agents. And then, January 1st, it was New Year's Day of 2018. I was walking my dog, listening to a Pat Flynn podcast, Smart Passive Income. And he was talking about how podcasting has changed his career and just all the doors it's opened. And then also how much attention he gets. And I'll explain that in a minute, because it's mind boggling. But it right then and there, I decided, holy shit, I've always wanted to do a podcast because I'm a marketer. I want to do all the stuff. But it was always just like, I'll do it later. And then it clicked for me. I was like, okay, I've been looking for how to reach new people in new ways and have a deeper impact so that I can actually like speak into context, like actually go in depth on a certain topic instead of just like a 60-second clip. And I'm like, the podcast is it. That's what I've been searching for. So that's why I launched the podcast when I did. And it just happened to be, you know, I was walking my dog one night and I finally got it. I was like, why am I not doing this? And why am I not doing this tonight? So I did. I walked back home, recorded my first episode. I knew I was going to speak to agents. I knew I was going to talk about lead generation, marketing, you know, how to attract more clients. And I mean, it's evolved a little bit since. It's grown to more than just that. But at the time, I just focused on that and hammered out a few episodes, and it just kept growing.
Is that where the name Massive Agent came into play? Like, is that branding with the podcast, or was that before?
No, that's when he was measuring cucumbers at the grocery store.
That all goes back to that fateful day in the produce section. Exactly. My friend. Yeah. Yes. No, that was the podcast. So I decided I was going to do it. And then I keep walking. And I was like, oh, I should probably have a name for this thing. What the hell? And I thought of the term Mega Agent for some reason. I guess I was just thinking douchey names. So I'm like, Mega Agent. What's bigger than Mega? And I'm like, Massive. And I literally giggled. Like, I remember giggling. I'm like, that is so stupid. And then I'm like, but that's it. I'll just roll with that. And I didn't think about it for more than a split second after giggling. And I just ran with that ever since. So that's how that came about, is just the name for the podcast. And then, the overall brand now.
Yeah.
Well, it works well, 'cause you're kind of jacked too, from at least what I can see, at least from like the waist up. I mean, I don't know if you lift legs or anything.
Waist down, it's not a pretty size. It's
just nothing but sticks. That's how mine is too.
Right.
I always tanning back is like lifting legs. There's no point. You know?
I mean, don't compare your upper to Dustin though. I mean,
it's comparable.
I wouldn't say it's comparable. Totally. I mean, when you're looking at me and you, it's like, okay, you got a good set of arms on you. You know, I'm the first to tell you that, Eric. But I mean, when you're beside Dustin here, it's looking like you're looking like me beside you.
I don't know what screen you're looking at here, but I'm looking at a mirror image of myself.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's a little day. But anyways, so do you still actively sell, like, or are you
personally
just kinda, not at all?
No.
So that's amazing.
It is to me. Like,
yeah, that is, you know, to everyone, I think. Like, well,
there are some people that look down on that, like, he doesn't sell any. I don't give a shit. Like, I never wanted to sell homes myself, driving through traffic every afternoon to show homes.
Yeah.
Until I die.
No.
Like, that's not why I got into real estate. I got into real estate
until you're 99 years old.
Right. Well, some agents act that way, and that's fine. That's totally fine if that's what you want. But I like how this industry allows so many different avenues to build an actual business and an actual brand and mm-hmm. do whatever. Like, you guys make memes, for God's sakes, right? Completely. You guys do an amazing job, and you built a hell of a brand. And I mean, everyone knows who you are, but you've done it by just making jokes. And who would have thought a real estate agent could do that? I mean, you guys kind of blazed a trail. I'm throwing Matt into the mix here. Like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll take it.
Matt sings hilariously, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
He blazed that trail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I blazed the singing trail. No, I didn't actually blaze that trail.
Singing realtor.
Crushing the reels. Yeah. Yeah. So there's just so many things you can do. And I, back to like asking big questions, I was like, how can I sell more homes without ever doing it again personally? And, so I've made certain moves and, done things a certain way that allows me to do that. Like, we still have, 100 or 150 homes a month being sold in my team, but I'm not doing any of them. And I love that. I'm totally fine with that. So, it's congruent with me and what I wanted and the having leverage and all of that. So it's just incredible what can be done if you're bold enough to just, step into something. So many people are afraid to do something different, do something unknown, but they know they probably should. They just don't. Like, I get it. I did that for years, but I don't know. Like, then you just keep getting the same shit.
Well, that's where all the magic happens though. That's what people don't understand. Right. When you go down that road that hasn't been driven down, if you will. Yes. When you go,
down.
I said, I was trying to put, emphasize it, a driven
some medieval
down, exactly.
Tongue to it.
But when you start going, because that was like me, everyone told me I couldn't do the videos. It, like, no one was going to take me seriously, and I'd ruin my entire career. But no one ever tried it that I was talking to. So they didn't know. They were just saying, they were just assuming things. And we all know what assume, makes an ass out of you and me, right? So we all learned that in elementary school, right? So.
Hopefully.
What is your
Hebrew school?
No. So what it did, am I canceled now? Did I offend
no,
you?
No, 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 you're not. I'm just saying, I don't know. No. In Temple Emmanuel.
Okay. So how big is your team? Cause you're with EXP. Touchy subject for us because Eric almost got canceled. I don't know if you saw the meme.
The swarms, the Swifties. We need a name for the EXP crowd.
About four months ago, he did a Star Wars meme on EXP. It was very light, very funny, and
it's hilarious.
By the way, I did another one recently. Nothing but positive comments, even from EXP agents, because now EXP agents are seeing this as an opportunity to share that and then say, "Hey, ask me about EXP," and promote themselves in the comments. Totally. So I think it's actually helping EXP at this point.
So how big is your team there?
As of today, I have 200 on the team as of today.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
See, that's so sick because you got the podcast that all agents listen to, and then you can grow your team through the podcast, and that's something you love to do. It's incredible.
Cool. I'm able to attract people that like want to partner, you know, like they want something like they're joining this team for them, right? They're like, okay, there's more upside for me here. And, you know, with what we provide and the people that we do it with, it makes sense. Like, it doesn't make sense for everybody. We don't want everybody, but it's, I don't know. It's been a lot of fun. I can't imagine doing anything else, but please don't stop with the EXP memes. I love them. I think they're amazing. We need more of them.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. I don't want to hammer the same subject over and over. I pick my spots, you know, once a month, I think is good with one of those.
Yeah.
I think you could double your quota.
Okay.
I think there's room every
you just want to piggyback off it. And then, you know,
yeah. So I can recruit in the
fire. No, are you, but you're not like a heavy, cause I've had a couple EXP agents, they go hard in the paint. You don't seem like someone who's really gonna, it seems like everyone gravitates towards you and come to you. So it makes your job way easier. And you're not being all salesy or whatever. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid to like when a conversation comes up, I'm not afraid to say like, hey, this makes a lot of sense for you based on what you're saying, you know, and really like making it clear why, you know, like what our value proposition is. But no, I don't do a whole lot of the chase you down, convince you bullshit because first off, it doesn't work. And second of all, I hate when people do that to me. Because it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so I do what works. Like I'm following, I'm not doing anything revolutionary. I'm following some people above me and who have come before me that's literally all they do is they just attract the right people. And then we help them do the same thing and it grows. It's cool. Cause then you build a culture of people that are like, they're all friends because you're all like-minded, you're friends. You want to collaborate together. You want to share. And if it's just a bunch of people that were convinced to be there, some of them are going to be grumpy and, you know, douches and, you know, not the best culture. And that's not what we want. So
did you make the transition to EXP after you already developed this entire kind of content apparatus? And did you realize like, hey, this is the move now because I have so many eyeballs on me, I could recruit really well. Or how did that come to be?
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. It was, smart. So I started the podcast in January 2018, and then I moved to EXP in May. So I saw how fast the podcast was growing. I knew that I had an audience and I had people that were, you know, like were looking for ways to work together. And then I would have done it a lot sooner had I understood EXP. So it took me about a year to actually get it because I'm dumb. But I was looking. Once I finally got it, I was like, okay, that's going to let me do all the things I wanted to do anyways. And so, yes, I probably would have done it even without the podcast, but the podcast certainly, or the growth of the podcast certainly factored in because it just made so many things possible that I wanted to do anyways.
So you won't even sell your friend's house, your personal house. You don't sell anything at all ever?
Try not to.
But you will.
Same. It was similar mindsets. We're anti-agents. I won't even take referrals.
Right.
Swat them right back.
Right.
Just kidding. Compass and dad.
No, I sold my parents' place. When was that? 2 years ago? 2 years ago, I sold my parents' place begrudgingly. But besides that, no, because I'm not the best fit for most people right now. Like my time is better spent elsewhere. And so I'm not the best agent. I have agents who focus on listing all day long, that focus on buyers all day long and certain parts of the Salt Lake area all day long. I don't. So, you know, I could be selfish and try to do that, but I just, first off, I don't want to. They're better for the client than I am anyways. And it just, it works out. So
being someone in content production, do you find it difficult to come up with new posts or new topics for your podcast because you're not selling as much?
Not really. No, because I talk to so many other agents.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, I have like, I spent what, 9-10 years selling homes actively. So, like it's, I get it. And I'm involved in transactions in one way or another every day, even if it's like, you know, from a mentor role or whatever. So no, I haven't found that to be an issue at all.
Good. I mean, neither have I, for the record, in case anyone was wondering.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a weird like industry because people think you just need to work all the time. Like the only way to be successful is to work all the time. And to me, that's not like, if you're working all the time, 24/7, to me, you just have a time management problem. Right. I don't see success at all. Like, so, I mean, I feel like people need to like wake up and realize that because myself, I'd rather do, you know, 10, 15 less deals a year so I could hang out with my family. Like, I don't, you know, I just don't give a fuck about being the top agent in the fucking country or city or, you know, I do what I need to do.
Neighborhood
fucking anywhere. I'm probably not even the top fucking agent in my condo complex here. But, you know, I think people need to hear that. And like, it's okay to, you know, like I do pretty well. I can really do whatever I want to do, you know, whenever I want to do it. And I am like always at home with my wife and my dog and I love it. So I don't think, you know, I think people need to hear that you don't have to be like a psychopath and like, because you always see those like Grant Cardone motivational things. And like, they're like, oh, what if you, you know, you're going to look back in 50 years and regret that you didn't do that and you didn't fucking work harder and all that shit. But they never say you're going to look back in 50 years and regret that you were never with your family. You worked for no fucking reason.
Speaking of Grant Cardone. Grant Cardone, you know, addition to EXP, I know this is kind of old news at this point, but has that been a net positive or net negative for the overall kind of view of EXP?
It's again.
All right. Everybody stop what you're doing right now. Stop listening to the podcast and focus your attention on what Matt Leonetti is about to say. Stop.
Thank you. Thank you. In real estate, it's work hard and play hard. Is it happy hour yet?
Hopefully.
I hope so too. Well, when you partner with Boomtown, the number one rated real estate CRM, the work hard gets a little bit easier. It's all the tech tools and support you need to generate and close conversation ready leads. Run your business smarter with Boomtown so you can work hard and play harder.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know. To check out Boomtown and see how you can score $750 in free digital advertising, visit boomtownroi.com/overask. That's boomtownroi.com/overask.
Boom.
From my perspective, probably neutral. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a net positive personally.
Are you a Grant guy? Are you a 10Xer? No. Okay, cool.
No, he drives me crazy, actually.
Okay, good.
I've grown more respect for him as a person since my wife and I watched Undercover Billionaire. Did you guys ever see that?
I've seen clips of it. That was his reality show, right?
He was on it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like he had to go back. He had 90 days to start $1 million business, and he had $100 and a phone. And he was dropped in a city he'd never been. He was dropped in Pueblo, Colorado.
Wow.
And he had to do it. So like seeing that behind the scenes shit and then seeing him with his family and stuff, it just humanized him a little bit. I think he's a douche, you know, in a lot of his content, but Gary V works for me, you know.
Same with me. I love
Gary. Yeah. It's funny. People are in one of two camps. Like they're either team Gary or team Grant. I now understand and respect Grant more, but I wouldn't say I'm a Grant guy by any stretch.
Gary just gives such actionable content just, you know, like you said, in 2016, 17, when I was watching him way more frequently with the documentation and just the consistency and the just him telling agents to be their own media company, basically saying you have to be everywhere. You have to be producing blog posts and video posts. It really changed my entire mindset with the broke agent. But I think a lot of people also, like when Gary Vee tells you to quit your job and just do what you're passionate about or something, he doesn't take into account, or he does. I mean, I'm not like ultra familiar with his content, but those people, like not everybody can just quit their job and have his work ethic, right? Like not everybody could just, you know, go play baseball or, you know, trade baseball cards or something like that if they're not, you know, experts at it.
But it's hard for someone to see, like when he, cause he works so fucking hard all the time. He doesn't understand that people, I guess he does understand, but like, he doesn't understand like, okay, well, if you don't like this situation, then work your ass off and create a better situation. But people, like you said, people won't be able to work that hard because they're fucked up.
Right.
It's odd.
It is odd. There's a lot of fucked up people in our industry that, you know, they misinterpret the way, you know, things that Gary said. Gary's never said don't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you really listen to him, he's like, he sleeps like 8 to 9 hours a day. And he's a huge fan of it, but he's all about what you do in your waking moments and making the most of your time and, you know, where you're at in your life. Do you have a family? Do you not? Can you work 18 hours a day? Can you not? Like there's nuances to it. And some people just like kind of read the headlines and they're like, oh, he says I should just work. I'll sleep when I die. And, you know, okay. But you're going to be miserable. You're probably going to be depressed. You're probably going to get fat, unhealthy. You know, you can do what you want, but like, it's just really cool when you give yourself permission to do whatever the fuck you want to do. And there's so many other amazing people in our industry that have already done something unique, and we just have to look to them and how they did it and just follow their roadmap to have similar results. Like there's not a whole lot of unique shit left over to do in the real estate industry. I mean, maybe with blockchain there will be, well, there definitely will be, but like, as far as business models and, you know, how to attract business, how to structure your real estate sales business, there's dozens, hundreds, thousands of others that are doing it at a very high level. That shows it's possible and they've shown how to do it. The only variable is, are you willing to do it or not? Maybe that does take long hours for a short period of time, long period of time. I don't know, but it's all up to you. If you don't want that, if you want half as much, do half as much. I mean, I'm just tired of seeing other agents living off of metrics that are important to others that aren't important to themselves, like number of sides per year. Who gives a shit? Like, I want to know how much money I've made net. If I could do that from 2 homes sold, awesome. Why is that a bad thing? Yeah. Why does it need to be 120 homes?
I'm the exact same way. Everyone asks me, hey, dude, how many? So I'm like, dude, you need to fucking stop with that shit. Like, just worry about your volume, how much you're actually making. Who cares? Like, I always say, if I was in a market that was selling like $130,000 houses, I wouldn't even be an agent. Like, to me, you'd have to sell fucking like 100 houses to make what I make. I don't want to sell fucking 100 houses.
Right.
Kidding me?
Right.
Are people insane? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's why I should just move to LA and sell like a couple $20 million houses.
Join you my team. Like,
yeah, fuck. Join your team. I'm going right to the fucking ground.
So, Dustin, what's like your number one focus right now? Because you do speaking gigs, you have a coaching platform. I noticed you have a referral network as well, where you could kind of, is it like you purchase a spot in a specific city and then that's your, like, that's your referral zone? So like, and you have the podcast, obviously growing your EXP team. So what's your kind of number one goal? What are you trying to grow right now the most?
What I'm trying to grow the most is just, exposure of my voice, my message, and my podcast, because I found that the more people hear that, the right people funnel through and we end up having conversations about partnering, or they become a referral partner, or, you know, they then refer the podcast to someone else, it leads to, you know, joining the coaching program or something, or, you know, a paid speaking opportunity. It's amazing. Like, agents need to understand that if you just get seen by more people and you have a consistent message that's somewhat valuable, and the value is in the eyes of somebody else, not in your eyes, good things happen. Like, the bottom line will increase. You just have to be seen by more people. So ultimately that's the main metric I'm trying to do, is just get, you know, increased downloads to the podcast, get seen on social media more. So like, I got super nerdy a couple months ago. I went and created a spreadsheet where at the end of each month, I'll go into Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and I take my podcast numbers and income and a couple other things. And I track everything. Like, how many people did I reach on Instagram? How many posts did I make? Like, so I track like income per post and all this shit, which in the short term, like, there's so many variables to that, but I want to see what affects what. And so I'm tracking it all. Like, if I get more views on Instagram, does that lead to this? Does that lead to this, which leads to more income? I don't know yet, but I'm tracking it all like a crazy person. Because it's all that rising tide lifts all ships kind of thing.
What kind of content do you see right now that's getting you the most growth on Instagram? Like, I see you're doing reels, videos, you're doing podcast clips. You're getting tons of engagement too. Like, you're getting, you know, 30, 40 comments on some of these posts. So something is working. What's working the best right now?
Dude, honestly, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, I'm trying all sorts of different shit. You know, what you've done, like, you figured out what works and you just keep doing it every single day. And it's awesome. I don't really have a thing that I do every single day yet. I'm trying to figure out what that is. So like, that's why I'm experimenting with like some funny meme shit every once in a while, or like something totally non-real estate related that's funny, or this or that. What I believe will be the best for social media growth and being discovered by new people is going to be finding little topics, Instagram reel style. So in like 60 seconds or less, talking about, you know, three mistakes agents make in their first year and how to avoid them, or, you know, stuff like that, that are just quick digestible deals. I look at my friend, Neil Dingra, Neil Home on Instagram.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely crushing it with growth, which directly leads to him closing more loans. Like, he's blown up just by getting very narrowly focused on Instagram reels.
Yeah.
And
he's got great, valuable content too.
Yeah, he does.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Those list style posts that he does, like you said, like three ways, you know, three mistakes realtors are making on Instagram or something like that, captures the attention throughout the entire video. Anytime you do a list, and obviously retention of videos is the number one metric for pushing something in the algorithm. I know I've said this like every fucking podcast,
but no, but even his posts though, like, I just watched one today on how it was like how you use your house as a bank. And it was literally like 15 seconds, maybe, like, yep. It's so short. And it's like, oh fuck, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
And that, you know,
yeah, I think it gets the phone ringing for him.
The tips and the topical conversations, which you do also, and which you do in your podcast, like you just did. So you do solo podcasts too. You don't always do interview style. You did a podcast. Yeah. So you did a podcast about, you know, Zillow, like, you know, let's talk about Zillow, I think was the title, or maybe that was a previous one. But obviously when all the Zillow stuff was going on, that was super topical. And the engagement on anything that was being discussed with Zillow was through the roof. Like, I had a post that I think picked me up like 800 followers in a day. That was just like a slideshow of, you know, all the titles of the articles. So I think staying topical and, you know, commenting on news, which you're well aware of, since you're, you know, talking to so many agents and you're a podcaster yourself, that stuff will do really well. Like, people hearing news from creators as opposed to just reading articles from Inman and Housing Wire, that stuff is more interesting, seeing someone like break it down.
The breaking it down, exactly. Yep. And so an agent listening to this, what that means for them is you need to decipher and interpret what the news actually means to the consumer. Like, if you just like post an article, it's like the Fed funds rate changed to blah, blah, blah. Well, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, most agents don't know what that means, let alone the consumers. And then we just, whenever the, what is it? The FHFA raises like loan limits, whenever that happens a couple times a year, and agents are just constantly reposting it. And consumers are like, what the hell does that even mean? Yeah. And agents are like, I have no idea.
I always say that about market updates too. And the statistics, we've gone up 7%. It's like you posting your brokerage branded graph means nothing to the clientele you're trying to get.
Like, why is there less inventory? Why are more houses selling in this area than the other area? Yeah. Little descriptions and breakdowns for the consumer is a game changer for content for sure. Totally. There's not, most agents are, you're right, Matt, just sharing like a graphic from their brokerage or just saying, hey, interest rates are here. Good time to buy. It's like, okay, wait, why? Yeah. What does interest rate even mean?
And you know? Do you notice that like,
it's Fannie Mac.
Freddie Mac. It's always both. It's always, hey, you know, they post on a Tuesday. If you're looking to buy, now's the time. Then the next day, if you're looking to sell, now's the time. Well, which fucking one is it? I see so many agents do that. It's like, you're contradicting yourself. People are like, wait, you just fucking said it's good to buy. How is it good to sell at the same time? Because in most markets right now, it's not good to buy. It's a fucking shit show. And that's what I tell all, but you know, but people still have to buy. It's not like you're going to scare everyone away. It's like, I think everyone knows at this point, it's not a great time to buy. Market's at like an all-time high, at least where I'm at. Inventory is at an all-time low. So like you saying now's the time, it's a great time. To me, if I saw that not being an agent, I'd be like, I'm never fucking working with you, because the little knowledge that I would have from the news, I would know it's not a good time to buy.
Right. And you said it last week too.
Yeah.
And the week before. And it's
been a good time to buy since rates have been low for a year and a half.
Yeah. It's just weird. And then they always go, it's a good time to buy, because when's the best time to buy? Now, because next month it's going to go up. It's like, dude, stop being such a fucking bitch ass with this shit. You know, it's like, it's lazy. And it's like, just tell the truth, like be yourself and say, listen, I did a post last week about me, 'cause I'm trying to buy a second property for myself. I did a post saying I've lost in like fucking 8 multiple offers. This market's a shit show. I got so many non-agent, like I would call them leads now. I probably got 15 to 20 people reach out saying like, holy shit, like that's happening to you. I'm like, yeah, like it's not a good time, but if you're looking to buy, there's, you know, there's some things we can do. Like the interest rates are low, but like, I think that like that being genuine and that like relatability is going to be what's going to sell now. Like the whole grindy, yes, weird thing isn't, and that's what you're doing. Like, and that's what I
the
like.
Grindy, think, weird thing.
No, you're doing the other thing. No.
No. We'll do some hashtag grind shit tonight on Instagram. Yeah.
No, but I think that because you're so genuine about everything is why you're a massive agent. Had to put that in there, but I think people can relate to you, and that's why you've had the success you've had. And the people who are not doing that and not trying to be relatable and just driving their fucking Mercedes every day, saying they're like grinding and busy, that's fading out.
Totally. Well, I appreciate the kind words.
Yes, of course.
Agents are super lazy in their marketing in so many different ways, and I don't think that most agents, they don't set out to lie to consumers, but when they leave out very important context, it still harms the consumer because they have incomplete data to go off of. So it may as well be a lie. It's harming them the same way. So, you know, the market went up 17%. Okay. Well, instead of that, why don't you say, if you bought a house for $300K last year, it's now worth whatever, insert math here. You know, so then there's like an actual tangible like number that people can wrap their heads around instead of like it went up 17%.
Yeah.
So if people are like, wait a minute, I bought my house for 400 last year, I wonder what that's worth now. And then you might actually have a potential conversation with somebody that's like, well, if homes went up that much, how much is my house worth? But if you're just lazy and say, here's a stat, and then the phone doesn't ring, like it's not a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing. Yeah, interrupt each other once an episode. You go.
Here. Okay. Yeah, just providing info and value is the best way to attract clients, I think. That's all I was going to say.
Yeah. And it's super vague. The market is going up 17%. You know, okay, but what about this part of the market? You know, they're saying like all of Toronto is up 17%. Well, there's pockets, right? It's not just Toronto. There's neighborhoods and like
there's condos, there's single families.
Yeah, everything's not 17%. So like it's misleading for sure. So I think, like you said, if you were just a little less lazy about it, you could be like, the market's up 17%, but the condo market's here and the single families are here. If you just break it down a little bit more, I think you'll find more success.
Yes. And you ask some questions too, because like you said, buying is a shit show right now. Some people should not, but it depends on what they're trying to do. Yeah. I saw, I think it was an Inman email that came through or something. Maybe it was from The Real Deal, that like investors were responsible for like a record percentage of home sales last year. And it's like, really, at all time highs, investors were buying the most, which to me, it's like, well, that's interesting. They must think that it's going to keep going up. Or how are they investing? Like, what type of investment is that? So there's lots of upside all over the place. But to find out, like, you have to ask the client questions in order to find out what they're trying to do, because what they're trying to do, you may be steering them into something that's going to fuck them.
Yeah.
Where if you just ask the right questions, then you're like, oh, well, you shouldn't actually do that. You should do this instead. Like, you know, maybe you should buy a multifamily. You should buy this fourplex over here, or maybe wait, or whatever. Again, laziness.
Yep. I agree.
I have a question just kind of about marketing in general, since you have all these content pillars. Mailing list, since you just talked about getting an email from Inman Real Deal. I'm trying to build my mailing list right now, and it's pretty big, and I've done it kind of through like downloadables, PDFs with like actionable stuff, like Instagram strategy. What are you doing for your mailing list? How are you building it, and how would you recommend agents build it?
Oh man, personally, that's something that I've squandered so bad. Like, yeah. I've been collecting emails and I don't have shit going out on a regular basis. So I am subscribed to a lot of other email newsletters so that I can get ideas, like The Hustle, Morning Brew. Mm-hmm. I love the emails that the clothing company Lions Not Sheep sends out. They're probably the highest quality emails I've ever seen as far as graphics and everything. And I just subscribed to all these emails to get ideas. So then when I hire somebody that can handle that, we're going to knock it out of the park. With agents, it's much, much, much easier. So, you know, every time a lead comes in, you're building your database with emails, and hopefully you're collecting emails in other ways through contests or open houses and all this stuff, right? So like, it's as simple as if people are following you or reaching out for real estate information, it's okay to send them real estate information, you know, once a week, like do a weekly newsletter, a weekly update, weekly email of some sort, talk about, give some context to some of the numbers that people are seeing in the news, feature a listing or three, like here's our featured listings for this week. That stuff, not everyone's going to want it, but those that do, they're going to like that. If it's regular, you know, just make sure that it has a format, that there's some consistency to it, because what I can't stand is when I start to like a certain way that a newsletter does things and then they switch it up. Like, well, what happened to this? Who was it? They were doing these snippets, which were like quick little headlines. And I loved those. And then they got rid of them. And I was like, what the hell? Like, that's why I got your newsletter. And then I unsubscribed. So whatever you do, like, it's okay to add on and change stuff, but try to stay as consistent as possible with the format and the different features within your newsletter. So that people can count on it. Like that's where the power is. When they know that they're going to see the three featured listings every week, maybe that's why they're opening your email, is they want to see them. Or the homes that are about to hit the market, they want to see them. So stay consistent with it.
The mailing list has been a game changer for the Broke Agent brand. I hired someone now that's doing my emails at least twice a week. Nice. So every Wednesday and every Sunday. And as far as
you get on your list, I don't think I'm on your list. What the hell?
Yeah, I'm not doing a good job marketing it as much. But the podcast views go up exponentially too, because on Instagram, your click-through rate is what, 2%, 3% engagement rate. On mailing list, the industry average is like 15 to 25% or something. Of course, I'm making these numbers up, but that sounds
totally
sounds accurate.
Sounds right.
Let's just say mine is 25, 30%.
Right.
Yeah. People are watching the YouTube videos of this. So like, it's helped so much, because now I have something to send them to. You have something to send them. You do a weekly podcast.
Right.
So you do the podcast. You also have a blog with your podcast, which is impressive too, because you're breaking down the information if they want to actually read it, as opposed to listen to the entire thing, which we have to do. Mm-hmm. But I think your email list would be so valuable because you're providing market knowledge, you're providing insights to actual real estate news, you're featuring guests, you have your referral network, you have your content platform, you have your coaching, you have articles you're writing for Housing Wire and Inman. Like, there's so much information that you have to give to people. I think that your email list would crush it. It's just about like collecting those emails. And I've right. found the easiest ways to do these downloadable things. Like, hey, here's 10 secret Instagram tips. I'm doing another one next week. And I keep hitting them with these kind of free eBooks for agents. So
I love that.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Because I agree. Like there's two things that I know that I'm really underutilizing or totally squandering. And that's email marketing, totally squandering. And then YouTube, where I'm kind of half-assing it with only full-length podcast episodes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And those are just huge growth opportunities for us and for, you know, an agent trying to reach local consumers as well. It's just a matter of committing and doing it. And I mean, the process of committing and doing it, that's cool to hear that you've, you know, you're a few steps ahead of me there. Like, you found somebody to help put those together and stay consistent with it. It doesn't surprise me at all that you're seeing a ton of growth. And you're right. Like, there's so many different things that could be included, like not just the episode, but maybe like a podcast I heard that it's like, hey, here's a book that I read this week, or here's an awesome new podcast that you may have never heard of that I just started listening to, and other stuff aside from just the episode that people could listen to. So
exactly.
Stay tuned for that.
Plus your affiliate marketing, which I know you have a lot of partners on your podcast. You could, you know, every single week have like an affiliate of the week or something like that, because it's still providing good value to agents, because you're marketing to agents, and agents are like, oh, what's, I don't know, Shout Boss, one of yours, or
Follow Up Boss.
Okay. Yeah. What's Follow Up Boss? And then you give a little brief description of it. So I started a thing called BA Bits recently, where I just do three like news articles, you know, from Inman, Real Deal, Housing Wire. I don't even break it down. It's just like basically like the title. So it's like three of like the most interesting articles. I try to do a social media tip every single email blast, so that way they know that they're getting value. And then also it's the podcast. So the podcast has just enabled me to send out so many more emails, because before I was like, what the fuck am I going to send them? Like memes, like just the same shit on Instagram, you know? So
yeah. Good. What are you using for your email platform?
MailChimp.
Oh, you're still using MailChimp. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is that antiquated? I don't know.
No.
You're still using MailChimp.
Yeah. Coming from the guy that doesn't send anything, huh?
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm also using MailChimp when I do send stuff.
He also has tape cassettes in his car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I'm just saying.
Not gonna judge.
No, Eric's actually really, I hate to say it and compliment him, he's a bit of a genius with this stuff. He really knows what he's doing. Actually upsets me when people, oh yeah, he's a broke agent. You don't get it. You don't get it.
You don't even know what's
coming.
He's
rich.
See that room? That room he's in?
Yeah.
Yes. That this? Room's beside fucking Hillary Duff right there. Okay.
Yeah.
His neighbor. He's exactly. fooling everyone. He's a fucking genius.
That's right.
I've seen his crypto portfolio. The guy's.
Yeah. Well, not today.
You buy the Squid Game, game coin, and watch it drop to zero.
Exactly. Shoot, let's hit it. Let's hit you with a quick lightning round. I got a haircut in, you know, 15 minutes just down the road, but it's a really nice haircut place.
Because he lives in Beverly Hills.
We're filming this like real estate course, and I'm doing my hair literally for this course.
Yeah,
it's like a funny real estate.
It's gonna be a good one then.
My hair actually looked fantastic in it.
Your hair did look fantastic.
It did look really good.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the not so lightning round. We don't really have many questions, actually. We call it a lightning round, but do whatever the fuck you want. Eric, do you want to start?
Sure, yes.
Okay.
Who would be your dream guest to have on the podcast?
Andy Frisella.
Okay.
Do you want me to elaborate, or is it like a real lightning round?
I don't know who that is.
Just give us a two-sentence description of this guy.
You know, his approach to business and mindset and everything has just been so impactful to me that, you know, like I have a few selfish questions that I probably want to ask him, and you know, he's got a big ass audience too. So if we're being honest, growth hacking by having him on the podcast would be big. So that would work too.
Good answer.
Okay. Now we'll get into the hard hitting stuff. Yeah. Who would win in a fight, you or Ryan Serhant?
How tall is he?
He's 6'4".
He'd beat the shit out of me.
No.
His arms are probably as long as my legs, so I don't know.
How tall are you?
Plus, I've been in one fight.
Really? You look scary.
Okay, two fights.
Did you win the fights?
That's why I've only been in two fights.
You look scary.
Well, because he has a junior high, and then I headbutt a kid in high school.
Sick.
Yeah.
Sick. I door slammed a guy once.
Oh, like when you were door knocking?
No. I was driving in a car. My dad was driving in a car, and these like guys were like walking in front of the car really slow, and they wouldn't let him pass. So then he like had to go on the sidewalk, and I fucking door slammed the guy as he was driving.
Sick.
Damn.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
You know.
See, anyways. I thought you were prospecting, like, you know, knocking, you know, 10 homes around an open house. And then some shit went down and
I just slammed him into his own door.
Yeah, just yeah. Well, I think, I don't know. You got a good set of arms on you, but so does Sirhan. So, okay.
See, I'd like to have him on the show sometime. So I don't want to start the relationship by telling him I'm going to kick his
smart
ass.
Yeah, very right. Strategic. Smart. You know, he's been on our show, friend of the show, actually. So friend maybe we can make that connection.
I just spoke with Fantastic. Him in Boston. I just spoke with him in Boston. Like such a nice dude, such a good guy.
Everyone Paul. Says that. He must like really be a nice guy.
Yeah. He really is.
Kind of like, sick of hearing it, to be honest. You know,
he's really son nice. Of a bitch. But it's almost like different when you see him in person. You're thinking he's going to be like that big person, which he still is, but he's just like super down to earth.
Cool.
Nice dude. Yeah.
Who's the, I like seeing him win. He does some really cool stuff.
Yeah, he's done incredible things for the entire industry. So
absolutely.
You need to like him.
Yeah.
Who's the coolest person you've met in the real estate industry at all these conferences and everything? Like who do you enjoy grabbing a beer with the most, or, you know,
other than golf
with,
obviously, or the two of us.
Yeah. You haven't. I don't think we've met.
I don't think we met in person.
No.
No, we've met.
Not yet.
We've met enough.
What?
We've met enough. It's been.
Yes. I don't think we have to. Okay.
Guy or girl, of course. You know, just who's, you know, is it Katie Lance? You know, is
Katie's
it
cool?
Is it
have you met Byron, you know, Lazine?
Brad Inman.
Byron's cool. Lazine. Yeah, Byron's I like cool. Byron. I would say honestly, my friend Haley Parker with Fairway Mortgage, Fairway cool. Southwest.
Okay.
She's become a good friend, amazing personality. Like, you know, the first time we met, we were like old friends, which is weird.
Yeah.
That's always good.
He's cool. Eric, you guys know Haley?
No. Who would be yours, Eric?
I mean, Byron's like my best conference friend.
Okay.
He's
cool.
He's fun to,
I'm going to finally meet Byron. Yeah. He's a nice dude.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bestie. Nice people.
Yeah. He's my, you know, Dan O'Neill, obviously. As far as like partying with,
I didn't know him until I saw all your Tom Ferry Summit content.
You should have him.
A lot of people.
He seems awesome.
He's a funny guy and he's crushing it with his vlogs. We mention him every episode.
Nice. He's awesome.
So he's paying you, obviously.
Yeah, of course. He's coming out with a podcast called Between Two Lockboxes, which is a take on Between Two Ferns by Zach Galifianakis. So that'll be good.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Dustin. We got one more, two more here. Okay. If you had to choose one celebrity, okay, non-real estate celebrity. This is a great question. I like hearing people's answers. Non-real estate celebrity, actor, musician, whoever you want, to join your real estate team because you think they'd be an incredible agent. Who would that be?
God, that's such a weird question, which makes it so awesome.
Yes.
A celebrity. Dude, Gary Vee.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
That's a great answer.
I don't even need to explain that one.
Yeah. No, you don't.
He would crush. He would just destroy everyone.
He'd have you on email marketing, LinkedIn, everything. Your social media game would be
He would
ridiculous.
Go garage sailing and then sell the house.
I can't believe we never thought about that,
He'd
actually.
Flip a Pokemon into
into a house.
Yeah.
Just a
Charmander becomes a fucking mansion.
That's right.
It would be a Charizard.
Yeah. Okay.
Holograph Charizard.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
the point was flipping something, like, you know, not cool. Like the less version. My reference made more sense because to be like a more
discreet
version.
Yeah. No one.
Like everyone would say
Charmander.
Charizard.
Yeah.
No Charmander would be funnier because it'd have to.
Or a Squirtle. Squirtle would probably even be harder.
He'd flip a coffee mug into a listing appointment.
There we go. That's good.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Get off Pokemon. Okay, cool.
All right, Dustin, I will ask the question.
Yes.
Right on.
Where can people find you? What do you want to promote? Anything? You want to say anything?
Just listen to the podcast. Yeah. Massive Agent Podcast. Find me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Massive Agent. And then, you know, the nice thing about being an online marketer is you're pretty easy to find. So if somebody can't find me, they should probably wear a helmet outdoors.
They should. Yeah. If they can't find you, it's probably for the best. They don't need to find you.
Right. It's doing me a favor.
Check out this guy's Instagram too. He's posting good shit. Hire him to speak, join his network, join his team, you know,
just join
his workout program.
Insert call to action.
Get on his podcast.
Yes.
Do it all.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Dustin, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely.